began with great promise to change the way we lived our lives. And it was pretty great. But while the internet has kept up with ever-changing needs, the way we experience it hasn't. Until now. It's time to play in a more beautiful web. A more beautiful web feels as native as the applications on your PC. It's fast. It's clean. Your sights shine. A more beautiful web is feeling the love of rich HD video. It keeps you safer while it takes you deeper. A more beautiful web uses the power of your whole PC to unlock what's next. Welcome to a more beautiful web. Internet Explorer 9.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here today. What a great year, as you just saw in the video. So Ray just talked about the state of art of data center. So I focus on the kind of cloud side, the server side. The next half an hour, I want to walk you through the other side, the side of the client technology, where all of the customers are, and in particular the web. And I will start by saying that the expectations for the web are increasing. They're getting bigger. People expect their application to be available everywhere, right? Starting from the cloud, they want to access it from their machines, from the laptop, from the devices. And this is tough for you to build all of these application and experiences and make them available everywhere. And this is what we're going to talk about in the next half an hour. In particular, I will start by talking about I9 and the momentum behind I9 and the journey that took us there. Then I will shift talking about what's next for the web. And lastly, we're going to change gears and talk a bit about devices, and in particular, Windows Phone 7. Before I start, I'll actually, it's quite funny here. I'd like to start share with you a few numbers. And the first number is actually the number of years that we've been working on a browser. And coincidentally, it's the same as the number of years we've been working on the cloud. It's been 15 years since we were there. Do you remember Internet Explorer 1? How many of you remember that icon? Come on. That was like a pretty good browser. And since then, we've been successful again and again and again over years, till arriving to the version 9. Today, we're counting 1 billion Windows customers. 1 billion. That's a lot. And out of these, 300 million Windows 7 licenses just sold in the last few months. It's interesting, when we get all of our research data and we look at the anonymous data that our users, that we see from our users, it's interesting to see a pattern. Most of our users spend more than 60% of the time in the browser. 60%. I mean, what are you doing? Do you work sometime? But actually, when you think about it, this is not so surreal, right? You spend a lot of time in the browser. Many of the things that you do daily are in the browser. Other interesting number here. When we built IE9, we actually built it based on your feedbacks. And I really mean your feedbacks. And we counted about 40,000 pieces of feedbacks that got into the product. So there might be some feedback from you here that are now codified into IE9. And it's available across many languages. We support 40 languages today, and you will see that very soon this number is going to go grow even more. There is one more number that I'd like to share with you. This is interesting. This is coming from a few days ago. We actually already talked about the security and the fact that malware are getting bigger. That's actually a big problem for us. From our data, we now know that every 14 downloads is a malware. One every 14, on an average, obviously. I don't download malware, so somebody must download too. But when you count this up together, it's actually a big number. So let's do an exercise, okay? Let's clap all together the hands. Okay, no, all together. Okay, one, two, three. Again. Stop. In between that second, right, between the two claps, in the world, we just block 29 malwares. I9 just blocked 25 malwares. You may think, oh, that's not a big number. Actually, as you start counting, that's about 1,500 per hour, which is about 8 million per day, which is about 1.5 billion since we shipped IE8. So we block 1.5 billion malwares since we shipped IE8. And that's thanks to the smart screen security filters and many other advances that we made into our product. So what do you think about this? Do you like it? Come on. You like it? Yeah. Okay, you just block other 1,000 malware. Thanks. You should clap more often. Part of the story that we've been telling the last year is really about HTML5. IE9, this is the year of HTML5. This should not be a surprise to you. I'm sure you heard HTML5 many, many times. And when you think about HTML5, it's actually more than just a name, right? Whether you are booking a movie on internet, or you're checking what your friends are doing, or you're saying, I'm here in Slovenia, in Portoroz, you're actually connected to the internet. And many of the services that you're using today are already taking leverage of HTML5. There is sometimes some confusion about this technology. Sometimes, like, people go off track with it. So I'd like to spend just a couple of slides and images to explain what we believe HTML5 is. And I will start with the player of HTML5, and in particular, W3C, ECMAScript, ECMA, and IETF. Those are three consortiums made of several members that work on the web standards in general. Microsoft is active and participating into all of these consortiums. We have more than 100 people that daily are like working and having conversations together with many other members from the community, either other browsers or a lot of other corporations. Together, the goal is to be like a city. Let's call it City of Web Standards, where each building is a different specification. So we have one building for HTML, one building for JavaScript, one building for CSS. Now, as you build a building, this is actually very true in Italy, you actually might spend a lot of years before you get to the end, depending on the performance, obviously, of the people working on the building. The important thing is that the building goes through different phases. It starts from a working draft, then it goes to last call, and last call means it's future complete. It means like we have all of the features, we just need to do the polishing, and then it's ready. And when you get to recommendation, that's basically when the specification is locked, so people can start relying on the specification even more. And at that point, it's a standard, it will not change. JavaScript, for example, is a recommendation, right? It's been there for many years, and it's already a recommendation. Now, let's go back to the standards. What is HTML5? Well, technically, HTML5 is this very first column here. This is the HTML5 specification. And then there are other specifications, about 100, with different names and different trajectories, different paths. Today, just for simplicity, we say HTML5 and we call everything here HTML5. You can see here, obviously, I don't expect you to read the names. If you do, well, you should be a pilot or you have very good eyes. But the point here is that each specification is at a different stage, right? Some are ready, some are still work in progress, and some just been introduced, so they're far from being ready. And you should just trust the browsers and the implementers in general to work behind the scenes on all of this. Microsoft is deeply involved to move all of the specifications forward. Some of them are ready in IE9. Others were working behind the scenes because they're not ready yet. And I will show you a few in a second. Now, it's quite a coincidence, but I'd like to make an announcement today. So if we take the HTML5 specification, I'm happy to say that HTML5 is going to last call in a few hours. So this is a huge step forward for the web. After 3 years of development, HTML5 is going to last call, meaning it's future complete. And as a matter of fact, it's already available in most of the browsers out there. Once you get all of these specifications and you start using them, you realize that actually you can build pretty much anything. And in order to do that anything, you need a good browser, which is fast, right? You need performance. And that's another pillar in the development of IE9. We took performance very seriously, and we actually redesigned everything. We have a new JavaScript engine. We have a new CSS engine, a new layout engine, new rendering pipeline. Everything is new. And everything is super accelerated. And it's hardware accelerated. Everything. Now, there are different ways to measure performance. Somebody like synthetic benchmarks, like SunSpider, is one of the benchmarks that tests the performance of JavaScript. It's built from one of our competitors. And it, we obviously didn't target this, but it's interesting to see the progression since IE8 to IE9. And I think we got to a place where all of the browsers have very fast JavaScript engines. My favorite benchmark for performance, guess what it is? It's your site. If you go to your website, I invite you to go home and try your website with IE9. And if you see it's faster, then we win on performance. That's the best benchmark that I can tell you today. I pick here one website released from Rovio and in collaboration with Google a few weeks ago. This is Angry Birds. They basically build an HTML5 version of Angry Birds. Because it's HTML5, the great thing, it works across any browser. So you can go and play with any browsers, and it works great in IE9. Actually, as I was following the tweets on the day they released it, it was nice to see that many users actually got us the feedback that it's quite good on IE9. It's actually very good in IE9. It's very polished and smooth experience. And that's what I use as a justification to my manager when he saw that I was spending more than an hour playing Angry Birds instead of working. I was testing, right? That's my job. Now, let's see a few websites in action. I will start by showing one of the new features that I actually prefer and love on IE9, which is called site pinning. How many of you already know what site pinning is? Okay, some of you. So I'm opening here IE9, and I'm going, for example, to my favorite search engine. And as you can see here, I'm taking the tab, right? And I drag and drop the tab into the taskbar, so I'm dragging the tab below. Then I see the pin to taskbar icon, I release it, and now Bing is inside my taskbar, right? I can close it, and Bing, from a website, it became a desktop application. It's in front of your users anytime. And anytime you click Bing, you just open, you go straight to Bing, you don't need to type the address anymore. So this is quite a good shortcut if you think about it. And in addition to this, you also get other services. For example, I have here Facebook, I pinned Facebook, and I also have the jump list. So I can, it's another way to get faster with your daily tasks. Twitter has a jump list as well. And actually, if you go to the NTK website for this conference, they have a jump list as well. And the jump list, it's interesting because it's telling me the next session. So it knows what time it is now, and it's giving me the next session coming next. And then a few tasks, so a few ways to go straight to a particular area of the website. Now, this is about cleaning the user experience. You see, it's very fast, very optimized for your daily usage. And this is made on top of like years of research based on your patterns. Now, let's have a look to a few HTML5 websites built by with our partners in the last year. And I'd like to start with Associated Press. Associated Press have been in this business for a while, but they never had a website, right? They sell information. They don't show information. And so this is the very first time that they decided to make an experiment and try to have a website to show their stories. And what they came up with is actually an interesting interface which pivots on images. And as you can see, I can scroll left, down, left, right, and I have all of my storyline with all of the stories ordered by time. And I can get a small preview or can go inside each story. I can eventually open new categories. And the next time I come back to the website, it will actually remember all of my settings. So it will start from where I was. And as I zoom into an article, I will get like a big, beautiful picture on top, on the center, and then obviously my nice story. And I can switch from article to article, go back to my timeline. I can go back to my queue, so you only see the article that I previously added to my queue. So this is already a good experience of like very rich website. Right, you're moving a lot of the complexity on the client, and this is possible thanks to HTML5. The next one I'd like to show you is coming from France. One of our partners in France, they basically wanted to create a book, a comic book, using HTML5. And so you can see that now I'm reading this story. And as I move the mouse around, I basically have this panning effect that reveals new items. So the story is very, it's very dynamic here, right? and you need to move, you need to explore it. And then you can move from a chapter to chapter. So you can see here is Canvas plus CSS3 transitions plus SVG. You can see that actually it's quite rich, right? You can get to a level of complexity that previously wasn't even allowed. And this is all made with HTML5, right? Right click, there is no plugins here. The next one is coming from BMW. They had a nice car that they wanted to showcase, and they tried to showcase it using HTML5. So the prototype, the concept they came up with, is actually this page, where as I move my mouse, I can actually see in 3D the car from different angles, and I can spin it. Look at the performance, right? Right click, no plugins. And eventually I can also move to the night experience. And now as I move the car around, you also get these nice shadows from the lights in front of the car. Or you can look, you can see how the air flows on the top of the car. You can explore the inside. It's actually, all of these are pretty impressive scenarios. The next one that Ray anticipated, it's coming from Mike Tompkins. Mike is an a cappella singer. Everything you hear here is coming from his voice. There is no instruments, no drum kits. And there are actually 16 different video tracks on this page. 16 playing simultaneously. And you can zoom, for example, on a track, right? I can take, for example, the beatbox. Or you can say take the vocal. And on top of this, obviously, you can also change and interact each of the single tracks, right? So you can enable, for example, only the violin. I can enable only the beatbox. It's pretty impressive, right? And if this was not enough, you can also, you also have a nice experience here where there is a physics engine and you can play with the cards. So again, this is something that is built uniquely using HTML5 inside a browser. And the performance is steady. This is thanks to the hardware acceleration and obviously I9 support. This is kind of like type of scenarios that we expect to see even more frequently in the future. Right? We are really unlocking the power capabilities of machines. Another one that I personally like is Pac-Man. So I'm sure you know Pac-Man. It's an old game. So it was interesting to see this HTML5 version of Pac-Man. So now it's going to start, and you have the vintage sound. And I'm very good at this game, as I'm sure that you are. Now, the interesting thing here is that, this was not the interesting thing. Now, let me try to play again. The interesting thing is that as I move down, look what happened. Voila. I actually walked to another board. And if I go left, I'm going yet to another board. And if I go left again or down, I need to skip this one. No, don't like it. Wow, this is very close. Ah! But you get the concept. There are a lot of boards here. And if I go home, it's more than just four boards. This is a huge board, right? This is the biggest worldwide Pac-Man. And I'm serious. Like, you can stay and play here forever. There are the statistics here on the right. So there are 29,000 boards. You can really spend days and weeks playing this game. And eventually, if you also navigate right, you see that there are a lot of boards here. You can create your own one. So you can go here and create, and you have all of the tools to basically build your own board with the dots and the walls as you want. And the wall experience is just provided using the HTML5 capabilities. So this is something that I think is really impressive. These are the things that excite me every day I see these type of scenarios. What do you think? Do you like it? And by the way, this is one of the reasons I absolutely love my job. I need to spend a lot of time working on this stuff. And I work on many of these scenarios. If you're interested, let's say that you're interested to try yourself these scenarios, right? I'm not obviously suggesting to skip your work, but you can go to beautyoftheweb.com. There are actually 100 and something like 15 websites that are equally powerful as the few I showed you here. And there are all of the links to the demo that I just showed you. So that's a great starting point if you're interested to learn more about these scenarios. If you're a developer, remember that you can always do right-click, view source, and you can look how this developer built the scenarios. Now, we talk about today, we talk about i9. Let's shift into the future. Let's start talking about what's next. One of the decisions that we make, and actually during the i9 development, and we will keep doing, is listening to developers. We got the feedback that the developers want to know more about what's going on inside Microsoft. And that's why we release platform previews. And every 8 weeks in the i9 timeframe, we release new platform preview that expose the new features. And we will keep iterating on the same cycle, even with i10. And as a matter of fact, we already released a platform preview. It's called i10 Platform Preview 1, and it brings some very exciting features for end developers. Let me show you just a few of those. So platform preview, first of all, runs side-by-side with your browser. So you can just install, as you see, on the side-by-side with i9. One of the new features is the ability to create CSS gradients. For those of you that create gradients, they know that in the past has been challenging. Now you can do this just using CSS. You also have new things called grid. If you are used to work with the layout of the page, you know that creating grids was complex, right? And we will look at the details tomorrow, but the idea is that it's easy now to generate dynamic layouts that can readapt easily to the dimension of the browser, right? You see that, for example, as I size down the browser, the entire interface changed. And this is made just using CSS. So think about your website running, for example, on a mobile device. Then, on top of the platform preview, we also created a new initiative called HTML File Labs. And the goal of the HTML File Labs is to start experimenting with really looking forward features that is too early to bake into the product. And so those are available as standalone components. And those are quite powerful. You have web sockets, so you can create a socket from the browser, right, with another client, with the server. You have things like cameras, so you can access the camera or the microphone on your laptop, on your device. You can access the file API, so you have a better management of files from the browser without sending back the file back to the server. And lastly, you have database. So you will soon have like a small database into the browser where you can store local data. I invite you to go to the htmlfilelabs.com website if you are interested in particular to one of these topics. We talk about browsers. But actually, the future of the web is not just about browsers. It's also about devices. And there are a number of devices that are increasing in the market. It started with notebooks, then netbooks, then laptops, now we have televisions, Xboxes. Like, there are devices everywhere. It's important, as we think about the web, to think about the web also for these devices. Let me show you a video here that Microsoft produced a couple of years ago, and this is about our vision of the future. And you will get a quick idea of what other devices we are thinking to target in the next future. So this is connected to the story of devices in the cloud. It starts from the cloud. It talks also about sustainability. So you probably notice a few details about how we're going to get smarter with the energy that powers these devices. And it talks about the real web experience that we imagine and we are working on in Microsoft. It's not just about the browser. And in particular, I'd like to show you today just a bit of, little bit of this experience, starting from Windows Phone 7. As you know, we made the announcement at Mix. Windows Phone 7 is going to support IE9 into the phone with the new release that we could of the operating system called Mango. When I say the same IE9, I really mean the same. Like, we took IE9 from the desktop, and the same capabilities, same features, same performance, same hardware acceleration is available inside a phone. And I have with me here today a device, and I will try to show you a demo. This is a worldwide prime. It's the first time we are trying to show this demo, so bear with me if there are complexities. The device that I have here is actually a prototype. It means that we use this as a prototype internally. The hardware of this device is as lower specification of what of the hardware that you already have in your pocket if you have a Windows Phone 7 device. And this is great for one thing. If it's fast, if we test that the performance is good on this device, it will actually run 5 times faster on your device. So let's have a look to a few demos. Here it is, from the dark. So this is the brand new interface of... Oh, now you don't need to look at my password. Right. You might notice here that the icon of Internet Explorer is already the new icon. And as I go into Internet Explorer here, and I go to one of my tabs, let's take, for example, this application. This is based on... This application showcases the border radius, which is one of the new CSS3 features. And as you can see, I can cycle the style, I can animate the width, make it bigger, I can animate the radius. And all of the beauty of CSS3, as you can see, is now supported same way on the phone, right? Then let me show you another experience here. We talk a lot about SVG, right, this vector graphic content. And as you look at this logo here, it's built using SVG. Which means that as you start scaling, look at the detail. It basically doesn't change. Because it's a vector, it's perfect, right? It will scale as much or as few as you want. I have another demo about geolocation. I need to refresh the browser for this. Oh. And I will skip the geolocation. But the idea is that you can get the location of the device from the browser through another standard called geolocation. And then the last demo is actually a funny demo. This is a little game built using SVG and CSS. And if it works correctly, you basically have this guy that is dancing. You don't hear the audio from there, but I can sing the audio for you if you want. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And you can basically play here, and you just need to... You need to catch the right things, right? And then as you move forward, like, you get different levels, and this can go on for many levels and different complexities. And you can see that the performance is actually quite good. Again, this is just HTML5 based, so it works. Same performance you get on the client, you now get into the phones. So this is quite compelling. I'm really looking forward to get the Mango release on all of the Windows Phone 7 devices. So I'd like to close with a few call to actions. In particular, I think that if you haven't done it so, I suggest you to download IE9 and give it a try. Try IE9 with your website and let us know your feedback. Your feedback are very, very important for us. If you're a developer, you also probably want to check out the Platform Preview 1 of IE10 and start exploring the new features, as well as the HTML5 labs. So start looking, if you really want to look forward and build the scenarios of the futures, HTML5labs.com is a great website to start from. If you are a lucky Windows Phone 7 user, well, you will just enjoy the new Mango release. It just gets better. There are a lot of features. I love the browsers, but there are really a lot of other features coming with Mango. If there is one message I'd like to leave you today, I'd like to say what we started from. The expectations on the web are increasing. Your customers are expecting more and more, and you should expect even more in the future. I showed you today how HTML5 unlocked these scenarios. Either scenarios that previously you couldn't even imagine, or scenarios where you had to use plugins. Today, they are available with HTML5. And HTML5 is going to give you even more of these scenarios in the future. And when we think about the future of the web, actually, we always tend to think 10 years from now. But the reality is that the future of the web, and this is my opinion, you saw the tools, you saw the demo, but I think that it starts from you, and it starts from your dreams, and it starts here today. Thank you.